This is Making Shift Happen, and I'm your host, Jen Cates. Over the years, I've coached hundreds of clients to find their ideal self through the way they nourish their bodies and minds, and now I'm here to help pass on these same strategies to you. So let's stop the madness and get your results once and for all. Let's go. Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Making Shift Happen. Today, we're talking about why you eat when you're not hungry. Because here's the thing, you know, this is something that many of us can relate to, including me. So let's talk about it. And it's especially prevalent when you're dieting or you're maybe trying to lose any excess body fat that you're chasing, or also when you're restricting maybe perhaps a bit too much, all right? And I don't want you to have a negative vantage on eating or negative association on eating when not hungry, all right? Because there's a lot to unpack here. So let's dive in. First, it is important to distinguish between hunger and appetite. So let's go ahead and take a moment to do that. Hunger, I will go ahead and add, it's more biological, it's more physical, and it includes the physical feeling that you get that helps remind you to eat, basically. And this can be physical hunger pangs in your belly, it can be moodiness, headaches, spaciness, it can just feel like you need to eat, all right? Hunger is basically a trigger that you need or must eat to stay fueled for your activity, your life, you know, any type of sports you might be doing in the moment, things like that, all right? Now, appetite, on the other hand, is a little bit more psychological in nature, and it exhibits your desire to eat. Your appetite can be influenced by, you know, seeing food, smelling food, watching someone eat. It can also be triggered when someone offers you food, all right? So you're like, oh yeah, I wasn't thinking about having that slice of pumpkin pie, but now I am, now that you've brought it up and shoved it in my face. So another thing I want to add here regarding appetite, and this might help you kind of understand it a little bit more, is I want you to think about the times when you've been sick or ill under the weather, and you've lost your appetite despite your need to eat food for sustenance, all right? We've all, I think, been there more or less. I know I have, especially with stomach bugs and things like that. You know that you need to eat, you know, to survive and things like that. You know you need fluids, but it's hard. It's hard. You just don't have the appetite, all right? Same thing can happen when you have colds and things like that. And that's the perfect example of appetite or losing your appetite despite that need to eat for, you know, survival. Now, while hunger is your need to eat something for survival or whatever, appetite is a desire to eat. So there's a need versus desire dynamic here. And in today's episode, I want to help you distinguish between your need to eat and your desire to eat, because all too often, your desire to eat may prevent your goals from coming to fruition. And I know not everyone has weight loss goals, so don't come at me, all right? But this can also apply to performance goals too, because you have to eat to perform. And this is all kind of interconnected, all right? So why the hell do you eat when you're not hungry? You know, there are a lot of reasons, and understanding these can help you navigate what to do when your desire to eat pops up. All right, the first one is boredom. Plain and simple. You are bored AF, all right? Eating feels good. Eating, you know, eating food is amazing, and food is amazing, period. Food is also accessible, and it's easy to get for many of you. And, you know, it's an easy coping, can't talk today. It's an easy coping mechanism for many of us when it comes to boredom and other emotions, all right? Next thing is you're stressed. All right, stress can heighten the desire to eat for many of us. It is also one of the easiest coping mechanisms to eat something, all right? While it can be, food can be, and like I've said in many, many episodes prior to this, while it can be a great tool for stress relief, it shouldn't be the only tool for stress relief, all right? So when it comes to boredom and stress and really other emotions, which we'll talk about in the next bullet point, what you want is things other than eating in your toolbox when it comes to handling these emotions and feelings and things like that, okay? Because again, you know, eating is not a bad thing. It's just we want to not have it be the only thing that you're doing, all right, in response to these things. Now, the third thing is you're feeling the feels, all right? It could be sadness. It could be anger. It could be basically any other thing than boredom and stress, all right? But I wanted to separate boredom and stress out because those are probably the two more common themes that I see and, you know, research sees in terms of emotions that trigger eating and just, you know, mindlessly eating. Now, with other feelings, you know, especially with anger and things like that, the thing that we usually reach for is packaged foods or like processed foods. And I know, ooh, P word, you know, packaged or processed. Very scary, very, very scary. But I do want to go ahead and say that, hey, you know, packaged foods are convenient, all right? Many packaged foods that are convenient allow for a big dopamine fix, which makes you feel good when you're just not feeling good, right? And there's a reason we're striving for it, all right? Our body and our mind knows what to do, knows to go after these things. Just remind yourself that eating mindlessly is a quick fix to feeling better, all right? Get that dopamine fix, but it may make you feel worse in the long run. So it's kind of one of these balance things, you know, just press pause when you're feeling all the feels and just say, hey, you know, I know that eating this thing will make me feel better in the moment, but what will make me feel a little bit better in the long term? You know, is it going for a walk? Is it maybe phoning a friend, talking to someone, playing with the dog? I don't know, something that will give you a little bit of a spike. Even going on social media, again, not the most ideal tool to reach for, but it is a tool nonetheless, and it can actually serve a purpose with getting you a dopamine hit without necessarily putting food on your lips, all right? Fourth thing here is, hey, regarding emotions and things like this, this is the happiness zone here, all right? So you want to celebrate. That's another reason that you might be eating, all right? Let them eat cake, all right? That is perfect example, all right? Let them eat cake. I mean, it's kind of a grim example, so maybe not the best example, but food feels good. Like I've already talked about, you get a dopamine fix. This also applies to happiness, all right? If you have a fun event planned or something to celebrate, then use this as an opportunity to plan a bit ahead for your day. You know, maybe this means that you're going to have that celebratory dinner out with friends, and maybe that means you're going to skip eating lunch out that same day, for example. And that's just one example, but it's kind of like a little bit of a barter system here, right? We always kind of want to think about, you know, eating in terms of kind of like a budget. All right, you know, like what do I need this day in terms of my hunger and activity levels and needs and desires? And you're just trying to figure out how to balance it all out, all right, without neglecting yourself and without doing this huge extreme range of, you know, dieting and just extreme deprivation, you know, and balance, I will say, I will admit, it is difficult to find. But that's kind of a cool like wave to surf, all right? It's all about awareness and bringing awareness forth in this whole experience. So yeah, if you're having a celebration, all right, let's factor it in. No big deal. Number five here is your environment is influencing you. This is going to be a huge indicator here, all right? Think about the candy dish at work or the dentist's office, kind of ironic, right? Or the pizza that they bring in at Planet Fitness, for example, you know, on their Pizza Fridays or whatever the heck it is. Think about the corner hot dog stand that you have to walk by at work or near the gym or whatever, right? Change your environment or route if you need to, all right? Put some healthier options out to where they're visible to you. You know, bowl of Clementines, for example. Perfect example, all right? Because, yeah, I'll be honest. If there's a bowl of M&Ms, I'll be reaching for, well, a bowl of M&Ms with like a spoon or something, because y'all are gross. I see you not washing your hands. And there's norovirus going on right now. I don't want that. So yeah, you know, if there's a bowl of like some wrapped Reese's peanut butter cups or something, yeah, I'm going to be grabbing them. I still remember when I was working at corporate, several years ago now at this point, and I had a colleague who always had a bowl a freaking Halloween candy at her desk. And yeah, of course I had one every time I went to her desk. And I remember sometimes I would find a reason to go to her desk, you know, just to chat or whatever. And sometimes I would even call myself out and just be like, hey, I'm literally just here for Reese's peanut butter cup. So I am not immune to this. All right. All that to say that I am not immune. But again, give yourself some healthier options. Maybe have, you know, some fruit laying out at your desk at work or on the kitchen counter. I know for me, I'm notorious for having clementines on the kitchen counter. I will admit, every couple of bags, I will have a couple that just get too hard by the time I go to eat them. Just because, yeah, it's between that and bananas that are laying out. So maybe the other option, you know, if it is kind of the hot dog stand type of thing, right? Or the food truck thing, maybe change your route to dodge the food truck, or bargain and choose to do the food truck for lunch one day this week instead of every day. But just know that your environment heavily influences your decisions, all right? So, you know, always be looking at your environment and think about, you know, what are some things that you can kind of sprinkle in that help kind of counterbalance the candies that you're going to be having, all right? The Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. For me, I would take clementines with me to lunch when I wasn't traveling. And I would take my clementines with me and I would have them out on top of my desk, you know? So I'd put my lunch bag in the refrigerator in the morning when I got there. Oh God, I used to get there at like 7:30, 8 in the morning. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, especially for corporate. And and I'd have the clementines out. But that was a perfect example because, hey, I still got my Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in, but I got my clementines in too. So again, hashtag balance. All right, number 6, you're craving something. Oh my goodness. Hello, hormones. It could be your menstrual cycle. And you'll notice that you might crave more fats and or carbs at certain times within your cycle, and that is okay. News alert, your metabolism actually increases slightly during that time of the month if you are a menstruating individual. So don't deny yourself. Don't try to white knuckle your way through that week of menstruating, you know, thinking that I can't succumb to this craving. I will not succumb to the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or dessert or whatever the hell else I want to eat. I'm also not telling you to eat the whole house either, all right? Again, you know, try to, you know, maybe split dessert with your partner or a friend or whatever. Maybe have some extra chocolate, you know, whatever it is. I will say, and I'm saying chocolate, I know it's whatever, stereotypical, but it is. You know, there's a reason we do crave chocolate. Because, yeah, magnesium, iron, whatever, fiber. So, yeah, chocolate does have fiber, especially dark chocolate. But, you know, for me, I'll have a couple extra squares of chocolate, little tiny squares, you know, from my little Choco Love bar that I have every night. I usually have just a row of chocolate every night, literally every night. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on a podcast. I am saying that to be real with you all. All right. I have a little tiny strip of 3 chocolate squares every evening. Sometimes I'm mixing in with like some Ghirardelli chocolate squares, just, you know, especially if I'm traveling, they're easy to travel with. I don't deny myself. And that's the thing. That's why I'm not white knuckling. That's why I'm at the point in my life, because I've been doing this so long and it's so consistent for me that I just don't think about it. I'm on an autopilot. It took a lot of time and effort and consistency to get there though. And I think that's kind of the things that, you know, maybe folks get a little tired of and a little impatient with, because we're just super impatient when it comes to consistency and showing up day in and day out. But I'm here to tell you that it is possible, but it is definitely a work in progress, and just be patient with yourself. You know, give yourself a little bit of self-love and kindness and all of that stuff. Okay. All right. So yeah, give yourself a little bit. If you are menstruating, give yourself a little bit of extra wiggle room and you might find that it will be just more beneficial for you in general. All right. All right. Number 7, you're craving something because of more intense training, maybe an increase in endurance training, or a heavy training session of any kind, really. This includes strength training too, especially, you know, in the CrossFit era with intensity being increased, things like that. Your body needs fuel, period. All right. Some endurance training can actually blunt your appetite for some folks. All right. I do want to say that. Whereas other folks feel like they need to eat the house. That is me. All right. I am that person because right now, for example, my endurance training has skyrocketed. It has increased intensely. You know, upwards of maybe about 100 miles per week in freaking indoors. But yeah, got to make it happen. You know, I would love to get to the point of having 150 miles, and that will be the case here in the next few weeks. But, you know, this is where I'm at right now, especially coming from 20 miles or less in weeks prior. So with that increase in endurance training, I am not the type of person who has a blunted appetite. All right. My appetite increases. And I speak from experience when it comes to this. And this is because Your body is utilizing the glycogen stores in your muscles and liver, and it needs to be replenished. All right, so my advice, quick and dirty advice anyways, is to try flanking your workouts with a little bit more carbs in those meals. You know, nothing wild. Don't have like half dozen of donuts, because hey, here's the other thing, is all too often we think that we're reaching for carb-centric foods, but we're actually not. That donut that I joked about a moment ago, that is actually fat and carbs. All right, so yeah, it's savory as hell. It's delicious, but it's actually not, it has carbs in it, but it's got a little bit more fat than you think. All right, same thing with tortilla chips. Oh my goodness. All right, so common thing I see. So we all know about that like post-endurance, like Mexican food meal or like fast food meal. And we're reaching for either fries, group fries as an appetizer, or tortilla chips like chips and salsa or whatever. Right? Nachos, I don't know. Your chips and guacamole. Tortilla chips, they're fried. All right? Tortillas, great. They're more carbs. Tortilla chips are fried, so they're going to have a little bit more fat. We're talking 8 to 10 grams maybe per serving. And we all know we're not eating a single serve. And we're not eating a single serving when we're sitting down in a restaurant. All right? Hashtag real news. But same thing goes for donuts. Same thing goes for fries. Yeah, it's a carb. Yeah, it's a potato, but you're frying that effing potato. It has some fat in it, all right? And we have to respect that a lot of the foods that we do tend to gravitate towards and we think we're carb loading or replenishing our carbs, we're actually loading up with a little bit more excessive fats. And again, I'm not demonizing these foods, but I'm trying to add a dose of reality to the foods that you're actually reaching for. It's not like you're reaching for a bowl of rice, all right? Or eating non-fried tortillas. You're eating fried foods because it's savory. It tastes better. And here's the thing is when you're increasing your intensity and your duration of your activities, especially when it comes to like endurance and, you know, HIIT or things like that, you're going to need a little bit more carbs and you're going to need to replenish those carbs. And what I'm trying to say is you want to have more carbs around your meals. So you want to flank or around your workouts rather. So you want those meals around your workouts to be more carb inclusive. All right. Again, nothing wild. Don't go for the donuts. Try to be reasonable and try to realize that, hey, a lot of the carbs that you might be reaching for actually have fats. All right. Now, the other thing is don't reach for greens or non-starchy veggies and excessive fats in the meal before your training. You know, I've talked about this in previous episodes. I'll link them in the show notes, but the reason for that is because those fats, excessive fats, and of course, like fibrous veggies and voluminous foods in your belly, that can really reduce your ability to utilize and digest the carbs that you're eating for fuel, and they'll be less likely to be stored as fat. So again, it's, you know, it's catch 22, but it just takes some learning and practice and patience. All right. Number 8, it's a habit. All right. Sitting down to watch TV or maybe a movie, Netflix and chill. Okay, cool. Let's get a snack. You know, like I'll grab the popcorn. There's nothing wrong with having a habit of eating with an activity, right? But it's something that you may want to just be aware of depending on your goals, right? So just something, again, I'm doing this episode to bring awareness to variety of situations that you might find yourself in when you find yourself eating when you're not necessarily hungry, all right? All right, final two here. Drum roll. Number 9, you feel guilty for not cleaning your plate, or maybe you were taught to eat everything, all right? Famous quote, and you know, of course, I hate saying this now, but like, you know, there are starving children in Africa. I remember being told that, all right? I remember being told there are starving kids all around the world, and I know it was just out of gratitude for the food that we had when money was really tight when I was growing up, but that sticks with you. All right. You know, even to this day, I constantly thinking about starving individuals across the globe when I get a meal or when I have to throw something out because I wasted it. It you don't want to waste because waste is so wasteful. You know, it shows like a lack of appreciation and planning. And, you know, especially with inflation or if you're eating out at a restaurant. So what I recommend is just pausing and reflecting on if you're still genuinely hungry when you have some food remaining on your plate and you're feeling maybe genuinely satisfied, all right? Pause, reflect, check in. Put the food in a container or get it to go if you're not truly hungry. And I know this is going to be a work in progress still to this day. I still am working on this, especially when I'm eating out. But I've gotten so much better on just getting some food to go and just being like, yeah, this is going to be an awesome lunch tomorrow. Like, I'm looking forward to it. So just something to think about. Again, we're all works in progress. And that's the beauty in all of this, right? All right, number 10, last one. Everyone around you is eating. All right. Again, this is aligned with your environment, you know, having a huge impact on how you behave. But it's an impulse to want to eat when everyone else is eating. All right. And I know we've all been there. And another thing that goes in hand in hand with this one is when someone offers you food, kind of like what I hinted at earlier in this episode is, yeah, someone offers you a slice of pumpkin pie and you maybe weren't expecting to have that. And it's fine. But, you know, there is an opportunity to reflect and check in if you do truly want that thing. You do truly want to get some food because everyone else is eating. And you want that to be a shared experience, a shared social experience. I get that. You know, maybe culturally, it's also very important for you as well. Hey, that's a valid reason. But pause. Check in. Ask yourself if you truly do want that thing. All right. So out of all of these 10, which one resonates with you the most? I'm sure on some level, every single one might resonate with you a little bit, but I'm curious about which one resonates with you the most. The key here is to simply become more aware of what you're craving or eating when you're actually eating. You know, start to press pause for a moment and check in with yourself on how you're feeling and if you truly are hungry and need to eat, or if it's an appetite thing for you, all right? Awareness brings you so much to enjoy, you know, so enjoy exploring. And awareness really is the key for a lot of things, especially when it comes to behavioral things with food, in respect to food, all right? Now, on the other hand, I do want you to appreciate and respect your appetite as well. If you are ill and you're under the weather, and your appetite just isn't there, or maybe stress is incredibly high and just appetite isn't there, see if you can find ways to get food in that doesn't make you queasy or is fairly appetizing to you. Generally speaking, I usually recommend like stews, soups, smoothies, shakes, things like that, just because it's, you know, or mashed foods is really good. Yes, mashed potatoes, mashed sweet potatoes, whatever you need. Because those things can be a little bit more appetizing because it involves less chewing. And sometimes it's the act of chewing that actually makes appetite drive down further when stress is elevated or when emotions are elevated or maybe you're experiencing grief or something like that. These are all super valid emotions and experiences in being human. And I want you to respect that, but I do want you to respect the need for maybe getting in some sort of food at the same time. And again, you know, drinking the food might help in terms of like juices and smoothies and shakes and things like that. But then also mashed foods and soups and stews can really help kind of balance it out if you have that need. All right. I'm only saying this because, hey, I just don't want you to get into a hole where you feel like you kind of can't get out of it, especially if you're an athlete and maybe you have races or events coming up and it's difficult for you to kind of feel the desire to like, you know, train or even let alone bike or workout or whatever. And usually it's because you're just not eating like you normally do. And that's, again, totally fine. But I'm here to help you just try to navigate that experience and see if you can find a way to kind of, you know, circumvent that. All right. And work with it and not be so against it. All right. So thanks so much for listening, friend. Please subscribe, rate, and share this episode. It means a lot to have you here. I'm going to catch you next week. Bye.